Hello and welcome back. It's good to have you here and our study in Ephesians. My name is Al Doomey. I'm the Executive Director of Outreach to Asian Nationals, and just want to encourage you to continue with us in our study. And we're going to be starting in Chapter 2 today, but I do ask that you would continue to pray for our missionaries that are working in foreign countries that are needing our prayers and protection even today, and also for our missionaries that are here in the United States that are trying to get back to their countries. And Lord, we just ask that you would pray to the Lord that you would that they would be provided for, and that you would see that they would see God's hand in their life while they're here during this time. Help them to have the patience that they need, and also pray for our pastors, if you would, and their families as they are working all around Asia, and as we partner with them to reach their people for the Lord. I just want to lift them up today. If you'll pray for them, I would appreciate it. I'm going to start even now and pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word this morning or this afternoon, and we ask that you would bless this time, that you would give us clarity of thought as we look into this portion, that you would just challenge us to think, and we'll just praise you for all that you do. Please be with our missionaries that are in Asia, that are working in countries that don't want them there, or that are trying to pressure them out. And Father, we pray for our partners, our pastors that are working in these countries that some of the countries that hate Christianity, God, but we want to pray for their protection. We want to pray for their witness. We thank you for their boldness, God. We ask that you would continue to give them boldness and wisdom of your will. And God, we'll just praise you that you have given them spiritual understanding of what you want done. And that not only that, but Lord, we pray that they would walk worthy of you and all pleasing, that they would continue to grow in their knowledge of you and the word of God. And Lord, that they would also do it in your power and your strength and not in their own. And Lord, we just praise you that you are working mightily there. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we are in Ephesians chapter 2. And we start Ephesians chapter 2 in a beautiful idea here of being quickened or brought to life. And I want us to focus on that just for just a few minutes. It starts in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened together in Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as we get started today, the first thing we have to deal with is in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." It's you that he has brought to life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have come to that place in your life where you realize that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and you realize that you couldn't save yourself, that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you surrendered to him, and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you were dead. How were you dead? Well, it says in trespasses and sin, spiritual definition of death is to be spiritually cut off from God, or to be separated from God. I've been separated from God, or I was separated from God until I was 9 years old when I came to Jesus Christ. And when I became a Christian, I was brought to life. So I was a child of the devil, brought to life as a child of God. And so the question I have to ask is, what was dead? What was dead in me? I was breathing, wasn't I? I was thinking. I had emotions. What part of me was dead? And when you start to think about the definition of spiritual separation or separation from God, and you start to look at other portions of scriptures like Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When the Spirit is able to commune with my spirit that I'm a child of God, we have to be thinking about what part of me was separated. It was my spirit. I still had emotion. I still had, I have a physical body. I still was able to think and comprehend, but I could not be in touch with God. And my spirit had to be reconnected with God on the time that I got saved. So when it says, for you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children disobedience, I was cut off from the knowledge of God or the communication with God. And when I became a Christian, that communication was brought back to life. I now am able to communicate with God. And before that, I was a part of the devil, or a child of the devil, or a child of this world. Satan is that god of this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's looking for people to devour. Not to encourage, not to win over, but to devour. Satan doesn't care if you are a good child of God of this world, or, you know, to him. He just wants to make sure you don't become a child of the God. And so his pop, you know, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What he wants to do is destroy you. He doesn't care about you. So if you're here to listen to this and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you the truth. The only one that cares about your soul is God. Satan, the world, and your flesh, they want you to perish or die and go to hell. They don't want you to have freedom. They don't want you to be free from that. They want to continue to influence you to give up your life. But God has brought me, and he wants to bring you back to life. And if you're a Christian today, God has brought you to life. And so these old things that held us captive, we have to start to let go. God is also, because of sin and Satan's influence, we are not able to be close to God, but God fought to bring us that victory. In other words, there was an enmity, or there was a problem between God and me because of my sin. But God said, I got the answer to that. So he brought us into that through his victory. Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought us together. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what's fighting to keep us down. But God has brought us the victory. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's important to know that we were cut off from the family of God, or from life itself in the eyes of God, because we couldn't be in with God. And God redeemed that, and he brought us and reconciled those things together. He quickened us because he brought us to life, so that we don't have to follow the old life. We don't have to be like we're in times past. We don't have to walk in those days anymore. But we can walk according to the work of our Father. We can walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 talks about. He's opened these things up. And this is the greatest thing about this, is He has given us choice. When we became a Christian, we now choose to walk in the light as He's in the light, or we walk in darkness. We have that choice. We are able to follow God. And it's important that we see that. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That word conversation is our lifestyle. The things that we did. We had our we all were this way. We all lived in accordance to the prince of the power of the air. And we walked as children of disobedient. But now, verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation as time passed, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we had no choice. We, by nature, were children of the devil because we were unsaved, unredeemed, whatever you want to call it. We did not have God in our life. So we went from being a child of wrath to a child of love. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Don't you remember those days? Don't you remember when, before salvation, you were so easily ticked off, so easily upset, so easily that's your enemy. You wanted to fight back. You wanted to get even. You wanted to get ahead. But as believers, we're not supposed to have that attitude anymore. 1 Peter 4:3 tells us, for the time past of our life may suffice as to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. What is the will of the Gentiles? Well, it's the will of my flesh. It's what I want. It's how I want to live. And we understand, and I've been driving this home to my youngest daughter as we have been doing Bible study. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. When I start to take things into my own hand, in my own ways, I choose death instead of when I surrender to my God and His ways, then I choose life. And here I decided to do the work of the Gentiles, or the will of the Gentiles. When I walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. When I put God, other things before God, when I chose parties and other sexual activities, lasciviousness, wine, fighting, just lustful desires. When I lived in those things, in other words, when my standards were, I will only be happy if I get somebody else's stuff, or if I only be happy if I can get to this in my bank account, or I'm only happy. Look, that's all God. That's all worldly stuff. You know what? We're supposed to be content in the things that we have. Why? Because in Hebrews chapter 13, 5, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content in such things as you have, for I had said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's supposed to be enough. Part of being a Christian and living the life that God has intended us to be is we have come to life. And not only have we come to life, but we've also come to be content in who we are. So I want you also to understand that we were brought to life, not to live for self, but for Christ. There was a reason that God brought us to life. And He didn't just zap us. When we get saved, He didn't just say, okay, you're my child, come to heaven. But He left us here for a reason. Well, Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We have the choice. We can choose to serve sin or we can choose not to. But that's only for believers. The unsaved can't do anything but serve sin. But now that I'm a Christian, I can choose God. Galatians 2:20 tells me that I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am not to be the same person that I was when I was before I was saved. I was dead then, but now I was brought to life. So we must remember it was our spirit that was brought back to life. It's so important that we understand that. That's our communication with God. That's our ability to get there. Look at verses 4 through 7. It says, but God. You know, this was my old past. This was my old life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, brought us to life, together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Oh, look, what a beautiful thing. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us, or toward us, through Christ Jesus. So we were brought to life and was given love. Think about it. But God in his who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He says, this is who you were. You were condemned. You were a child of the devil. You were living this life of the flesh. You had no way to reconcile or please God. But God. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life. Why? Well, so that you could be reconciled to God. That you could be brought to the table of peace. That you could be forgiven. And now that you have been, we have the ability to love back. That's what Galatians 2:20 is all about, is the recognition that because Christ gave us his life, we ought to give him ours. He gave his life on the cross. We give our lives through the cross. Because of the cross, we are able to give our life back to him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's me being able to give myself back to him. But not only that, but he gave us position. Revelation 26 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're blessed. We're blessed because we're going to be part of that first resurrection. That because of the first resurrection, we're going to have our place with God because of what he has done. And then look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what's so great about being born again. I'm not going to be with God one day. I am with God. In his mind, I am already there. I am seated. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I was put into the body of Christ, sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 4. I was placed in to the body of Christ. And because I am, my standing is I'm already there. And if I'm already there, who can kick me out? those that believe you don't have eternal security, you can't already be there and then get kicked out. You are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're in there forever. Why? Because I am part of the family. And my dad, which is in heaven, will not deny his son. And the last couple places I want to go to is, I want you to see Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We love this verse. Everybody loves this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We love that. There is no boasting in my salvation. I've done nothing to deserve it, but God has done everything. And it's beautiful the way it is. It is a free gift. It's not something I can do to earn. It's nothing I've done. But it's what God has given us. He said, look, I want you to have something that only I can provide, because we can't be good enough. We are all sinners. We all fall short. But when I give you this, I want you to understand that it did cost. It's free to me, but it cost Jesus his life. He gave up everything. He gave up even the closeness to his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that I could be brought in to the family of God, and I could receive this free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason that I give my life back to God and do good works is not to obtain salvation, but it is because I have salvation, which is exactly what Ephesians 2:10 tells us. For we are his workmanship, a new creature in Christ, created in Jesus unto good works. I was created in Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life. He has gifted you in a special way through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that he could guide you. How many of us are giving ourselves over to the power of the Holy Spirit? How many of us are surrendering to his will? How many of us are seeing the power of God in our life? How many of us are making a difference? God didn't just save us to be saved, but he saved us so that we could, number one, be a part of God's agenda, God's plan. You are brought in to the family of God as a free gift. Praise the Lord. It's all him. But now that you're in, what has God asked you to do? And you say to me, I don't know what God's asked me to do. But then I say to you, are you saved? Because God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for your life. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a child of God. I've been brought to life. Just think about it. What has God asked you to do? Father, I pray right now that you would be with each one that listened to this, that you would challenge them to know what you would have them to do. How are they fitting into the places of their church? How are they fitting into the places of your ministry? What have you asked them to do? And Lord, let them find that good work. Not because that keeps us saved. No, God. It's all you or it's all nothing. But that we want to serve because of the love that you've given us. We want to give back. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you again next Friday. Bye-bye.